Sir, why are you in Barry's fishing net?
He ran right into it.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty apes.
First off, that is incredibly rude. You ran straight into Barry's fishing net.
It's ruined.
How is Barry gonna fish now?
I'm just trying to find some patches and some stickers.
Well, all you have to do is go to gearwebsites.com and you can find 2A-related stickers and patches. And even if you need web consulting, technology consulting, 3D printing, anything like that, gearwebsites.com. Now please get out of the net.
I'm sorry.
Jerk.
It's 11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
And welcome, everybody. Move this Mint mobile box out here. All right, welcome to our Daily Gun Show. And on Tuesdays, we go live in order to talk about, you know what? I have this focused in from the trivia game the other day. Now you can see this puppy clearlier, more clearliest. We go live on Tuesdays to talk about how to do the things that need to get done or how to do things that you might want to do. How do you want to look at it? I think we can go. Did I put this on Substack already? Oh, I did. Good. Thought I did. So we're going to be watching over on Substack, essentially over here, except we're going to put it on that screen and share that screen. This is my far left screen, by the way, where I keep videos that I'm watching usually, over by the puppy. As of the puppy co-host, he's been having a busy couple of days. He might fall asleep during the show. All right, and today, as far as our 2A content creator workshop, we're going to be talking about event coverage. One of the funnest things about doing stuff is interacting, being part of other people, you know, being part of the thing, working with other people, meeting other people, being around all the other stuff that's going on. And then a big part of it to me is the travel. I think that shouldn't be underappreciated. They say it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. So keeping that in mind, these are great destinations to get to, whether it be an industry event or a gun show or a rally like we were talking about earlier today. But you're allowed to have great content and share your travel, your experience in general. Anyway, we're going to talk about the event coverage today. It says our guide to mastering event coverage in the dynamic landscape of 2024. So we got an election year. Do you remember that? Remember what it was like last time with an election year? There's a lot of doom and gloom, a lot of anticipation about this election year. Are you creating content appropriate into that end with that? Focus, with that awareness. So in this hour-long podcast-ish, sometimes they go a little bit long, and let me take a second here and say this is a live podcast, so we do this live on YouTube. So we do these on Tuesday mornings. Try to do them before the Cape Gunworks 2A Tuesday segment of the Curious Curly Show, but I'm not sure if that'll happen today. But typically we try to post this show as a warm-up for that show. We can send people over there. Today there's a rally, or there was a rally happening. Now there's testimonials happening in Colorado for some assault weapons ban and some other definition of assault weapons, which is pretty lame, and like a pretty poor definition of assault weapons, and a bunch of other heinous laws that are being kind of threatened on Colorado right now. So there's testimony for that happening today, and I know that Toby traveled from Massachusetts to be there for that, so he's attending it, and that might change their show today. Maybe he'll still go live from there, it's hard to say, but we're taking a second here to say, you know, this is live, so feel free to interact live, and This will be a podcast. So if you're listening as a podcast, welcome. We've recently changed our kind of, consolidated all of our podcasts to Podbean. So while we're still broadcasting on all the major podcast platforms, iTunes and iHeartRadio and Amazon and Google and everything, we're still out there, but that's all being fed by our Podbean, which gives us a little bit more interaction with what's going on out there. And we really appreciate the people who, now that we can see who's out there, the people that are listening to the podcast. We always knew it was a large number, larger than the live viewers, but now we can kind of see that. So thanks to everybody who does listen as a podcast. And for those that do, thanks for leaving comments, leaving the thumbs up or the like or the heart, whatever it is on that platform. Those go a long way for letting those logarithms, the mechanisms that decide what to recommend, they influence those mechanisms. So we do appreciate the people that take the time to do that for our channel and for the others out there that you appreciate. If you appreciate something that you're listening to, it's great to have subscribers help actually pay the bills, but interacting with the platforms, wherever that platform is, iTunes or iHeartRadio or Google or whatever, or right here on Podbean, that helps a lot. So we really appreciate the people that participate sort of after the fact here. We're also posting this on, this is our Substack, and that's blowing up. You can see we got all kinds of back and forth going on with our Substack now. Thanks to Sharon, who told us about this a few years ago. And it's essentially a blog, like our Patreon blog, but it's on a blog platform with a bunch of other people. So like this, we have most of the information over here. It also gives us the ability to format it in a way that's more usable or interesting, at least for human eyeballs. The other things work on the internet, but for robots, but for us, it's nice to see things in bold once in a while and have a picture here and there. All right. So thanks for everybody that's, part of this. Let's get back into it. So we're going to deep dive into strategies, actionable tips, and out-of-the-box ideas for competent content creators capturing the essence of events like never before. And guess what? You can kind of tell the prompt I use there when you listen to that first paragraph. So I went to three of the most popular internet robots out there and asked them some questions, and we're going to talk about some of their answers. I handpick with my human brain the best answers from those robot brains, and we compile some hopefully useful and hopefully inspiring and ideally motivational information here for you to act on. So whether you're navigating financing, seeking collaboration, or deciding which events to attend, let's unlock some secrets for impactful coverage in this digital age. And we're on live on YouTube here, so thanks everybody who's participating. Although, even though there's a whole bunch of people watching, these are ghost people or phantom people, because no one's saying anything in the comments. So unless there's some blockage or clog, it's a bunch of fake listeners. So we'll say thanks to the people that listen and participate, and thanks again to those podcasters who are listening out there, podcast listeners out there. All right, puppy is now getting ready to be bored while I start talking. So understanding the landscape in 2024 and beyond, discussion of the current state of events and how they've evolved. That how they have evolved thing is, I find interesting, since we're often susceptible to cycles. We don't stick around forever, whatever it is we're doing. Most of the time we're not obligated to stick around, and as free people, we lose interest or wander away or get sidetracked or are pulled away from different obligations or reasons. So we don't have a lot of people that have stuck around a long time in any realm, let alone our Second Amendment area. So those that have stuck around are either the experts in the field or the exploiters, essentially. So the people that are in it to for the long haul, or people that know that they can stick around. And even if they fail, they just have to wait a little while, and then they can do their scam again. And eventually they'll fail, then they can just wait around. So usually those folks come out at the election years. So be careful. This is the time of year. This is the time of the cycle where they all come out from the woodworks and talk about, you know, all their great ideas this time around, even though they're reruns of their last great ideas. So, you know, we got this state of events and how we've evolved. So that's why I bring the cycle up. You know, we have this cycle of events because we haven't been articulate and effective in our positions. We have a lot of the my rights, my property, which is kind of the old effect, what was effective at one point when we had a lot of people who fought for our rights and our liberty. When we have people who take that for granted, they're much more susceptible to the state gives you these rights and these responsibilities. So, you know, or obligates you with these responsibilities when they give you these privileges. And, you know, we need to think about where we're at and who we're talking to and how we talk to them. Moving the discussion from the old paradigms to resolving the discrepant to the what the misunderstandings so we can end these things. That's the ultimate goal, I hope, for most folks out there. Not to win, but to end, right? Exploration of emerging trends and technologies shaping event coverage. This is coming out of a robot, right? These cues are coming out of a robot. If you can make a project every week and compete here without the robots, please do. We need as many people on our side working as possible. So that's one trend. We have the up and down videos, your vertical videos. That's a trend that some people are bucking. We have your short format content, another format or trend that people are bucking. Look at plastic guns. I can remember back in the day when those were nobody wanted them at all, right? The aluminum frame guns, there was a time when nobody wanted those. And now we're already seeing a time when now steel frame guns are coming back. So trends are trends. They come and go. So being afraid of them or scared of them is your right, but you can also capitalize on them and exploit them. If people are using short format, take your long format and shorten it. You know, figure out ways to chop it up. It's still content. Definitely get into preparation is key. Planning your coverage, importance of thorough pre-event research and strategic planning. That one I think is often overlooked. When you were talking about, you know, there's a lot of different events we might be talking about, but doing something as basic as checking what has already been done, checking or trying to find out or anticipate what might be happening. Think of SHOT Show as a good one. It's happened for a long time, and there's been pretty thorough coverage of SHOT Show that's changed and evolved over the years, but, you know, since the beginning. So knowing, for example, that now live streaming at the show is not only prohibited, is no longer prohibited, but it's also sought out, and because the technology is easier to do, you know, that's the kind of thing where pre-event research and planning can give you the ability to prepare and have something like that as part of your inventory of coverage or not. And if you decide not to, I won't get into too many tangents here. Tips for setting clear objectives and crafting a compelling narrative. Okay, if we had people in a discussion, that might be good. We're just sitting here with me lecturing, so that one is going to be less interesting, but that's a great topic or a concept for a discussion show. Let's see, financing travel, maximizing budgets for coverage, strategies for financing travel expenses for event coverage. Exploring budget-friendly options such as sponsorships, partnerships, and crowdfunding. So I don't know what that means, but exploring like funding options such as sponsorships, partnerships, and crowdfunding is maybe a thing. Exploring budget-friendly options, I would think, is more like trying to camp instead of staying at a luxury hotel or stay on somebody's couch versus paying for a place. Taking an alternative route of travel or carpooling to an event. We've seen so many events over the years and so many ways that people have covered them. I'm going to use Wanamaker as a example this time. Very large gun show that happens twice a year in Oklahoma. Oklahoma's kind of the center of the country, or at least close to it. And even though there's not a lot of huge airports in Tulsa, there's highways that get to it. And there's been plenty of people that have been part of either the Gun Channels community or others that come together at Wanamaker, or at least have in the past years. So the people that just drive, yawn, you know, big whoop, maybe you hear about their travel, like, oh, there was potholes. But the people that stream along the way, the people that have a camera pointed out front and they're having a conversation, people that make that time effective. One of our things is having to go to SHOT Show each year. We have to drive each way, so it's way closer than drive or flying. It's way more practical than flying, but it's an 8-hour drive each way. So in the past years, I've taken books along, and then, you know, for maybe 2 hours of the drive, I've killed 2 hours of the drive and made it productive by just doing book reviews. Everybody else in the vehicle is probably bored, but you know, they got to see a lot of behind the scenes book reviews that they could care less about. But at least it was something to do besides listening to the radio. And at the end of it all, we had, I don't know, 20 something book reviews. I don't remember, a big stack of book reviews. Now, but that particular option, you know, I had a big stack of books with me at SHOT Show. That wasn't necessarily the smartest thing, but we had a van that year, so we had plenty of room for it. But, you know, think of those kind of things. I think there's a lot of missed opportunities for both your audience, your community, and your projects, but also just for everything else we've talked about, by including coverage of your travel, of your event, of your tour, documenting your tours each year as a facet of your project. What, you know, the people that get paid to go to places don't like to bring up the costs or the trip itself. They want to make that transparent and talk about either the sponsor or the event, because it's either not on their radar, they're not thinking about it because it's not something they think about, you know, oh, I'm getting this paid for, you know, by this, that, or the other. So just, you know, it's not a difficulty. It's not something I'm worried about. They take it for granted. And people that are struggling are often so overwhelmed that, and trust me, I know this one, just getting out of that debt now, putting a lot of these events and things on credit, gets you into debt, and you're spending time hoping to get gold, and you're not paying attention to that adventure, that journey. So I think that's an important one for many reasons. I'm trying not to get into too many topics since no one's giving me any feedback here live. I'll just keep going. Collaboration opportunities, building partnerships for success. Leveraging collaboration opportunities with other content creators, brands, and event organizers. So, yeah, and think about how you're getting there and what you're going to pass along the way. So unless you're flying, which you fly over everything, you might be able to do something with an airline or with some sort of a travel product or something. But luckily we've had plenty of long trips on our tours, on our adventures over the years, and you know, let's say like 1 year, in 2002, we wanted to go to the Bannerman Castle. So that's a pretty easy one. You pick Tucson on a map, you pick the Bannerman Castle, which is in New York, on a map, and you pick the most likely route, you know, set of highways to get there. And you get, you know, all kinds of things pop up along the way. And then you figure out, oh, you know, if we just drive 8 hours out of our way this way, which on a long trip like that isn't a big deal, you know, we can hit these two other spots. So on a shorter trip, that's an opportunity too. And, you know, you're going to pass how many gun shops along the way? You're going to be gone for how long? How many gun shows might be happening? Brooke is saying, about to hop on a call, but thanks for sharing. I went live on my way home from the Capitol. Right on. So I tried to find information about that. I was live with Toby from Cape Gunworks for about an hour or so during a live thing earlier today from Colorado. And I saw your video that today was the Suicide Prevention Awareness Day, but I started looking that up and I didn't find much that was current. So anything you have about that would be good to hear so we can put it in the calendar so we are able to promote it ahead of time next year. But that's a valiant or a valid, which way, both I guess work, effort to focus on for lots of reasons. Let's see. So we were talking about the other content creators. It's kind of a given, but you can be creative about that. And with some forethought, you bring a couple of things along and maybe now you're wearing similar clothes, or maybe you bring the same equipment. You're both using the same microphones. Paying attention to little things can give you the opportunity to make your coverage not only unique, but fun and interesting and useful. Maybe collaborate with another content creator. And let's say if you're going to go check out the J.M. Davis Museum in Oklahoma, because you're both going to be attending Wanamaker, you attack the J.M. Davis Museum in one day, and one of you does rifles and one of you does pistols. And that way, neither one of you is concerned that you're going to miss any of the right, you know, the other, because the other, somebody's got your back. Now imagine if it was three people or five people, right? You could create a project where you map out whatever it is, the J.M. Davis Museum, maybe Wool Rock. Is that the name of that place? I think so. Or maybe you head over to Oklahoma City for one day and check out the 45th Infantry Division Museum. That's an awesome collection. And like three or four people hitting that collection, each of them knowing that the others got their back and they can focus for the, you know, the whole trip on just that section. What you end up creating is an archive of that event, location or whatever it happens to be, product, I guess, or a manufacturer. And you can do some really neat stuff, which right away is going to get people, you know, once they see your two pieces, they're probably going to go look at the next person's two pieces and the next person's two pieces. So you're going to definitely do what you intend as far as creating traffic and that kind of thing. Brands, I don't know why brands aren't paying more attention to this. They pay billions of dollars to have a can of Coke in movies. Just apply that to whatever you're doing. You're allowed to wear somebody's hat. Pay attention to whose hats people are wearing and whose shirts people are wearing. You're allowed to charge for that. You're putting something out there that hopefully is useful. Ideally, it's adding to the pile, but potentially it could go viral. You never know. And if you're having fun and doing stuff that's creative, now you're having even more potential to go viral. So if you're going to be wearing somebody's shirt or somebody's hat or somebody's patch, you know, you're allowed to, we're entrepreneurs, right? We're capitalists. We're allowed to benefit from that. So think about that kind of stuff. And brands, like, come on, let's talk about, you know, a couple hundred bucks here, a couple of dozen dollars here would change the playing field. I can tell if you're a brand, if you're somebody with money in your pockets and you don't even care about the recognition, but even if you do want some recognition, we could probably figure out how to make it happen. But you want to just change the playing field, actually affect what's going on. I can give you a dozen people to put money into and you'll see a difference, because there's dozens of people out there doing all the work, and the ones that are getting all the attention and money, we'd be done with this if that was the case. Well, I'm saying we'd be done with this if they were trying to end the situation. We'd be done with this if that was the goal. There are people that are trying to end this that aren't necessarily in it to see the long haul, in it to make a career out of it. So that's, I don't want to overlook the influence our capitalist brands, you know, our companies, our manufacturers, our products have on what's going on. And we'd make so much more money once everyone isn't scared of guns anymore, and we can just start owning whatever we want. It's fallacy to think that the industry wants us to stay stagnant. All right, so benefits of pooling resources, sharing expertise, and expanding reach through partnerships. Well, I think I talked about a bunch of those, but that's a great way to put it, pooling resources. So many people are so worried about their audio or their video or whatever. Borrow somebody's equipment, or let somebody borrow your equipment once in a while. Use somebody else's equipment. Figure out that there's no magic microphone. There's no magic camera. I've seen people with really, really nice cameras and microphones suck in front of them, right? And they just are lame. So get better at doing stuff, get more comfortable doing stuff, or stay stay awkward. Who gives a shit, right? Just do stuff. There's awkward people out there that enjoy somebody else awkward, fumbling their way through it. There's no requirement that you have to be good at this. So pool resources, share, check out what other folks are doing. And that applies to techniques and things too. You know, you can see how somebody's doing something, try it that way. Maybe there's a reason why it's a waste of time spending a bunch of time and effort doing it the ways the people are doing that are following trends that are just trends. Anyway, sharing expertise. Well, I guess I just said that. And then expanding reach through partnerships. And I mean, that's, can you set yourself up in it? Maybe I'm missing something there, but yeah, working together. You know, once in a while, you're allowed to take a rest, take a break, take a knee. And when you have a team, when you have others, when you have partners, you know, they're able to keep working. And typically, together, each accomplishes more. That's what team is all about. Together, each accomplishes more. Let's see. Deciding which events to attend. Strategic selection process. All right. So, you know, what's your goal? What is the goal here? What furthers that goal? Some of these things will kill you. So you might want to try going to all of them. You don't need to. You can see all of them from past events. Unless it's something brand new, it's never happened before. You can look at coverage of past events at this point and get an idea of the flavor and the vibe, I guess, and decide if it's something that you want to be part of. There's a lot of them now. It was a little bit different back in the day when there was just one or two of each, you know, element. There was one or two big sporting events. There was one or two big industry events. There was one or two big hunting events. A lot of little ones. Now there's a lot more medium ones and maybe a couple of big competing ones. So you can't, unless you're independently wealthy and you got nothing else to worry about here. Even then, you know, do you want to spend all your time just going to these events? So there's different factors. I won't get into them. If you listen to any kind of these projects or these kind of shows in the past, people get into the pros and cons of these things. I'm going to petition, or I'm going to rally for gun shows. If we ignore gun shows, they go away. Or I should say, when we ignore gun shows, they go. It's not if, we've already done it. As a community, we don't appreciate gun shows. We did a long time ago, but we haven't in a long time. And that apathy and that indifference has resulted in promoters leaving. And I don't know of any real bad negative gun show stuff other than the anti suggesting things and no one defending gun shows. But, you know, with the absence of gun shows, we lose essentially what, you know, we had on what we have on the internet with Gun Broker, what we have with swap meets, you know, just the ability for people to share old products with each other without the infrastructure of the stores. Now the antis, the big government types, the people who hate individual freedom, they'd love it if we defaulted to stores only, because how far away is that from regulation and massive enforcement? Their universal background checks is essentially saying we want no more private sales. So if you can't handle the future without private sales, then how come you're not supporting gun shows? So if you're a content creator and you're worried about these big events created either by an organization or a manufacturer to bring a bunch of people together for some big thing, so it's got a specific goal. You know, we're talking a rally like in Colorado today, or what was happening in Connecticut. I'm trying to think for a second. But in Connecticut with Brooke for the Suicide Awareness Day, that's not what I'm talking about. But if we're talking about, you know, SHOT Show, where it's an industry event, work gets done there. It's valid. It has to happen. But again, do you need to go bankrupt going to it? I don't know. That's up to you. But, you know, deciding which events to cover, if it's more realistic for a bunch of people to start covering gun shows and making gun shows appealing and seeing the development of gun shows and comparing gun shows, bringing gun shows into the future, into the light as time goes on here. You know, I'm just using that as an example, but you've got your local shooting, sporting competitions. You've got your, manufacturers who do, kind of range days. You've got your machine gun shoots and your, well, maybe full auto, maybe not just full auto at this point. You got suppressor shoots and you've got There was bullpup shoots at one time. So you'll have like, you know, areas of interest or something that'll have events. And, you know, again, these might be, you might be able to cover three events where it costs, you know, the same cost for time and effort to record, you know, to cover one giant event. And then instead of being one of a million people covering a giant event, you're now the one of few people covering the less important or less interesting, less known about events. Assessing relevance, audience interest, and potential impact on your content strategy. So that's an interesting one. So the relevance, again, you know, what's the relevant to your plan, your goals, or is it relevant to the community as a whole? Is it relevant to perception of guns? Spending a lot of time looking at some Yahoo stuff that not that many people even dig and makes us all look dumb, like a 9mm, then, you know, that might be a waste of everybody's time. But something decent, something that everybody likes and that people are missing out on, you know, is that a more relevant for what you're trying to do? I don't know. Depends on what you're doing. Gizzards out there, welcome. Brooke is saying nice together, each accomplishes more. I learned that as a long time ago. I learned that one and I've used it my whole life. I really like that one. Gizzards out there, welcome. Got Mr. Knives is saying oral arguments in the Duncan versus Benita standard capacity mag ban lawsuit today at 9:30 Pacific as a liberty of peaceful peoples is on the line. Right on. So that's interesting. I wonder why all of a sudden in March we're seeing all of these things happening kind of all, well, it happens to be all three on the same day. It's weird. And there's another thing today too, if I'm not mistaken, because I was looking for information on the thing that happened in Connecticut with the Suicide Awareness Day. And I think I discovered something else that was going on today in a different state that I couldn't find any information on either. I really need to get to the calendars. I had to do something yesterday that took a lot of my time, like a ton of my time over the last couple of weeks, and it's over. It's totally done. Done. Completely done. So that's awesome. I still have to do my taxes, but that's less of an issue, almost physically at least, than this other one was. So I still got to do my taxes, but then I can really dig into the calendars. But I'll be digging into the calendars a little bit before I try to finish my taxes or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. We do our best to put it over on guncalendars.com. It's one of the websites, you know, we're gun websites for a reason. We have a bunch of websites out there. And Gun Calendars is about, you know, the history and that kind of stuff, the stuff that's happened in the past, anniversaries and things like that, but and holidays and things. But it's also about like rallies and things that are coming up. So things like this that are important for our rights is also something I try to incorporate into the calendar. So that doesn't happen magically. Our sponsors, our Patreons, the people that support what we do with subscriptions, pay for our servers. They pay for our software. This calendar stuff is software. It runs on a website, which costs something a year, and then it lives on a server, which costs something per month. And the Patreons, the members of what we do, pay for that. So help. Thank you for that. But it's also the time. I wish I could just tell somebody to do this. I guess I could technically pay somebody to do all this, but that's impractical. So the time it takes to do all this is we thank the Patreons for that. Let's see. E-Honda's live. Yeah, I was already live for an hour and 45 minutes. So I don't know if the rally's over. So if he's maybe live doing something else, but it's good to see that Honda's doing something. He was talking about doing stuff last night. Let's see. Leveraging multimedia. Yeah, so we just did deciding which events to attend. I'm getting back into it, and we're getting to leveraging multimedia beyond traditional reporting. So we got multimedia. You know, we just did video this morning. That video was on StreamYard. That's the software we're using now to broadcast or stream this video. And I was able to create a room with the title Colorado Lobby Day or whatever, or Colorado 2A Rally, and then send a link to that to Toby on his phone,
And then he was able to join the room in StreamYard on his phone through the browser and then port his camera and audio through StreamYard. I was able to tell StreamYard to post that full screen. And then we were able to throw some things up on the screen, some overlays and things. So live streaming, super fun. Been doing it since 2010. It's since Thursday of 2010 when YouTube first turned it on. We went live that afternoon. I mean, like literally we saw the button, we went live immediately. And we've been online pretty much every single day since then. And so streaming is super fun, super useful. Lays down a video. Once you stream, it turns into a video. So it is a way to create videos. You're allowed to pull that video down and edit it. Some people are masters of that. Some people don't even pay attention to that. But, you know, that's just pieces of the stream. I take the audio from this stream and turn it into a podcast. There's some people that record their podcast on audio format right away and, you know, audio, edit it, I guess, and push it up. And then you got, well, they're saying infographics, but, you know, you've got your visual, your graphical data. So you've got not just the different ways to get information across in a visual way, but you've got your three-dimensional stuff now. So you've got your animations, you've got your what do they call them? I'm going to call it an automated bar graph. You know, you've got your data visualizations. That's what I was looking for. You've got your data visualizations, which is essentially a PowerPoint and like an animated PowerPoint to an extent, but, you know, with the goal of getting information across. And then, of course, you've got animations, plain old animations. And now you can take the same thing you're using to create an animated 3D entity in an animation. You can pull that out into a 3D printer and bring it into the real world. So there's so many ways to, when multimedia is literally, you know, every part of that is becoming larger and more accessible. You need less and less powerful computers or tools to use these things and less knowledge of the technology to understand it. At some point, we're already to the point where you can kind of use apps to utilize the most useful functions of the big software. But we're at a point with people sharing information that pretty much anything you want to do, you can go find a quick tutorial and without any actual knowledge of anything you would need to know to do it from scratch, you can just follow the directions and accomplish whatever it is you might need. And even if that's too much, you can pay somebody a couple of bucks and they can accomplish it. So we're at a point with multimedia that it shouldn't hold you back. If anything, don't get stymied or stuck, you know, with the 1,000 options, makes everything come to a standstill. So understand it, have conversations with people. Every once in a while, focus on the tech, but utilize that tech. And we're going to, you know, we've got more and more people comfortable with this stuff going forward. People are able to absorb the information from more and more different things than ever before. So, really looking forward to where that takes us. Keep in mind all this time that the antis, those who hate our rights and our property, will definitely be using this stuff. In fact, they're getting paid to use it. So it's super frustrating sometimes to see them be really effective at this stuff because they're essentially going to marketing agencies that, you know, thrive on this stuff. And just pay them a lot of money. And they either don't care or they hate us anyway. So they're willing to do that work. And, you know, we're all mostly doing this as hobbyists and part-time activists. Again, all the more reason. Well, let me throw something else in there. I was going to say all the more reason to support those who are putting it out there. But if you've got any interest in any of these pieces, you're a resource. And if you've got the ability to create animations, create logos, create 3D stuff, help with video editing, I don't know, any kind of these things. If you're good with a camera or maybe you're good at event planning or traveling, let yourself be known, you know, offer that as to people who are trying to get the stuff done. Oftentimes people are there to do one thing, let's say be at the rally and stream, but they're not the most technical person. So they could use some help with the being somebody having there, somebody there with a phone. So sometimes, again, that collaboration and that working together can mean people that are into the different, you know, that get the different pieces working together to, you know, to accomplish something. All right. So tips for creating engaging visual content tailored to different platforms. Here's the tip. You've got YouTube and you've got these other platforms at this point. Anything that you've seen before, anything that you've seen, you're going to, if you can describe it, type that into a search engine, and that's going to send you to a forum or like a forum that's either focused on an area of interest. Like, let's say you saw a really cool commercial and you want to know how they got the camera to do this or that. There's probably, if you go to a search engine, you're probably going to, unless it's something that happened yesterday and people haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, most things that have happened, even the most obscure things from back in the day, the internet's so large and there's so many people using it to talk and all of it's being archived, you'll find that you'll be able to decipher, you know, discover whatever it is that you might, you know, how did this commercial do that? Or how did they do this in the movie? How were they able to talk backwards while that thing was happening on the screen? And you'll find people that discuss it, or at least if they haven't, you'll find a place that has those types of discussions and you'll find where to ask. So my tip for creating visual content tailored to different platforms is the sky's the limit. If you've seen something happen before, or if you haven't, you know, you've seen somebody do something real similar to what you'd like to do, just get out there and figure out how to ask the question to the right person. And once you figure that out, now, you know, if your refrigerator breaks down, you know, the same conclude, you know, the answer to that. If trying to find the best yard, you know, the cheapest yard care in town, you know the same way to approach that. So the tip for engaging visual content is the same as a lot of stuff, like get used to using the tools that are out there to learn the piece that you need instead of trying to understand it all, unless it's something, well quick, going off on tangents. Harnessing the power of social media, real-time engagement. Well, I like to do that. We've got dozens and dozens of people watching us, literally dozens and dozens of people watching us today. Very little interaction. So maybe I should make the show, ask questions more, or to lead, or, you know, ask for more interaction or whatever, instead of just bugging people for not interacting. But, you know, the real-time engagement, I know that this really means social, or what is it, super chats or thumbs up and shit like that. Obviously, you know, if that's your goal, if that's what you're looking for, there's that element of it too. But really, it's the mechanisms, those inner, you know, logarithms, people like to call them, but the things, you know, all the stuff that's happening on the internet is just data. So it's the stuff that interprets that data, how to interact with that, how to manipulate that, how to have influence on that. And that's where the real-time engagement can be a lot of fun. Now you can also use that real-time engagement to get ultimate feedback. You know, what do the people I know, what are the people I care about, care about? What do the people I care about want to see next? You know, that kind of thing. What are the people that support me are interested, you know, what are the people that are supporting me interested in seeing me do next, or which events, that kind of thing. So there's that level of feedback from this real-time engagement thing. And, you know, most of the real-time engagement, unless you pull it offline, unless it's only for live, it becomes a video, and now other people are going to have a chance. So you're going to get that real-time engagement and all the follow-up engagement. And if you're dropping that content on other platforms, you've got the follow-up engagement from other places. And often those are different people, different audiences out there. So strategies for leveraging social media platforms for real-time updates and audience engagement. So there's different strategies. Let's see, for leveraging social platforms, you know, you've got your scheduling. I'd say that's probably the biggest tool you've got, but you do have your analytics. And I think both of those can be kind of an answer to this one. So your different social platforms are going to let you know different elements of data, right? What time of day are people interested in something, or how long are they willing to listen to something? That's two different things. You know, what's the audience and where's the audience from? So the social platforms are going to give you that kind of insight and that kind of resource. And that's really half the key to audience engagement. And then another chunk of it is study, learn from the people who study this stuff. So you can watch the people that are in your realm doing what they're doing, but most of the time people are just doing something that they've seen somebody else do or something that was suggested to them. So a lot of times it's just people following the lead, following somebody. And if they think that person's doing it right, they start following. Somebody comes along and sees two people doing the same thing, they start following. The next person comes along and sees three people doing the same thing, they start doing it, and it feeds. Did that first person have any real insight? I don't know, maybe, right? Probably not really, because that first person had insight in a world where there was only them and they were pushing new ground, right? Doing their thing. Now there's all these, whatever you want to call them, copycats doing the same thing behind them. And now instead of cutting new trail, they're creating a highway. And now there's so many people on that highway worried about where they're going that it becomes more of a game of route choosing rather than, you know, discovering how to build new road, if that makes sense. So in other words, things change, and the people who are being followed, who knows what their motivation is, and their motivation may or may not change, probably will change. So a bunch of people that hitch a ride on somebody else's direction, you know, is the real long haul there. So strategies, I guess I was going to say, is you can go see what other people are doing and then learn how to do it. Refer back to ask the internet how something's done. You know, I noticed that so-and-so is doing this every Wednesday. Is there a reason for that? Ask the internet. You'll find out. Or maybe there isn't an answer, but at least you can find out if there isn't an answer. Building anticipation and fostering community interaction before, during, and after the event. So I've been kind of just general on this. We're trying to talk about doing events and stuff. So that real-time engagement, you know, does that mean just streaming at the show? Not necessarily. Real, you know, the engagement, in my opinion, at least, it's, you know, the preparation for the show. I've certainly done things where, especially with Patreons, where people are financially invested in what we're doing. You know, I'll ask the Patreons, hey, which, you know, I've got two directions I can go to get to where we're going. I can hit two gun shops and a gun show on this route, or I can hit two gun shows and a gun shop on this route. Which would you rather see? So there's that type of, you know, use and engagement. But it could also just be, hey, you know, I'm thinking about buying two cameras. Does anyone have any experience with these or any, you know, insight or input on which camera I should get? Especially if it's something like, should I invest in a dash cam for an event, you know, like a driving event or an event that you're going to drive to, or a, you know, third cell phone, third carrier, you know, so that I can stream no matter what. You know, the audience, your people may have different interests. You might have a different goal, right? You want to make sure you're streaming the event no matter what. Well, maybe a third carrier and another cell phone is a better option than the dash cam. But we'll keep going. Building anticipation. Yeah, we just said that one. So the next one is creating immersive experiences, virtual and augmented reality. Well, I haven't done the virtual or augmented reality too much, other than playing briefly with some games, or at least going into a game and seeing what it's about. I didn't really play it. It was just a Star Wars thing where you're sitting in a cockpit of some spacecraft flying around, but it is really neat. And the augmented reality is essentially just glasses where stuff shows up on the screen, up on the glasses in front of you, but it doesn't really exist. So, you know, if you were looking, I switch the camera up here, and you're looking at this dog, a little heads up might come up and say, just like, this is up here and this is up here. It may say, like, you know, this dog weighs 45 pounds, or this dog needs to be fed, or something like that. Or maybe this is the stinky end, and this is the end you put food in. You know, some sort of indicators that show up for your information, but you know, aren't projected into reality or anything. So that augmented reality, you know, depending on how it's accepted and how people use it, well, I guess you'd also say there's another way to do it, and that is when, if you think about you're probably, depending on who we're talking to, your cell phone camera, when you point it at a barcode, it's going to recognize the barcode and say, do you want me to go to this whatever, you know, do you want me to follow this action? Be careful, sometimes those can be bad.
But that's sort of an augmented reality thing, you know, using the visual data that the phone's collecting and then either adding to it with a heads up or, you know, overlay, or I should say, interpreting what you're seeing and giving you more data, sort of like a DVD extras in real time, in real life. So you're looking through your glasses or you're looking through your cell phone and you're seeing, you know, an augmented. Oh, you know what another example is? Thinking of holding up a cell phone. If you held it, oh, you know what? Can I do this? I can't do it right now. I don't have anything set up, but you can get translation software. And like I have that pack of cigarettes from Japan somewhere. It's got a bunch of Japanese writing on it. I could hold my cell phone up in front of that pack of cigarettes with the translation thing going, and it would just translate it in front of me into English. That's a version of augmented reality people might have seen before. So, you know, so in other words, you're going to be looking through some kind of screen, which gives you the ability to interpret and offer more data. And that's going to be, oh, you know what other one is? That one movie where the guy's walking down the hallway and the thing, the computers recognize who he is and start giving him specific advertisements. I think that's probably the best example that from whatever science fiction movie that was. Was that iRobot? It might have been iRobot. So, you know, that if that future, when that future hits, you know, it's going to be a whole nother level of following people around and bothering people and allowing people to be aware and connected. So we're talking nagging messages or ads or advertisements, but the reality is, you know, our cell phone right now makes us tied in a way we were never tied into 20 years ago, 30, 50 years ago. You know, there was a time when telephones were stuck on the wall. There was a time before there were telephones. So, you know, what we're able to do today and what we take for granted, the way the world works going forward when we have new tech, I guess, are we getting ready for that, right? So exploring the potential of virtual and augmented reality, there's people doing 360 coverage of events. You may or may not have opinions on that, but people had opinions of digital technology, the quickness and the resolution of digital can really bother some people. So 360 bothers people in a different way. And then I guess when we're talking virtual, you know, you start getting probably into something like scanners and that kind of thing, potentially 3D scanners where with enough pictures of something, still pictures from a cell phone, I think it's as little as 100 and something from all directions, you can, software can develop a three-dimensional model of the thing. So, you know, you get something at an event into virtual reality pretty quick. You could go to an event, take 300 pictures of something and, you know, send the files to somebody, and however long it takes me to say this, I don't know, maybe a little bit longer, there's a three-dimensional model of it that's available. It might be crude, but, you know, for something like a costume or a, you know, just a little piece of art or something, it might not be a big deal if it's crude. Let's see. Then we get capturing authentic stories, the human element. Emphasizing the importance of capturing authentic human stories amidst the chaos of events. You know, the events, we can take them for granted, but they don't just happen. They happen somewhere, and that place had a schedule, and there was some kind of a deadline, and the place, whatever the event might be, had a time when it could, you know, the doors were open to it, and that just didn't happen. So the promoters of the event, the people who show up, I'm thinking a gun show here, but the promoters, the people who set up at the show, and then the attendees are all having different experiences there. The place who owns the property, the people who live around the property are all having different experiences. The restaurant owners, how many of these people you're going to interact with? The taxi cabs or the Uber drivers, the restaurants, the hotels, do you ask them, you know, is that part of your coverage? Is that part of the story? You know, again, when you're, when we're talking your journey to get to a place, you know, is our goal as a content creator to make snapshots and 8 minute long YouTube videos so that we can get the ads that we need on them. And that's it.
or is it to document, share our journeys, right? Our experiences as people doing stuff, as individuals going or, you know, being at places. So again, you don't have to put this at all, but that's a layer that often is overlooked. Then you get to, as part of the human element, techniques for conducting impactful interviews and capturing candid moments. Again, we have the internet. You can go ask a computer brain or the internet itself, give me some impactful techniques for, or give me some techniques for impactful interviews. Give me some examples of how to capture candid moments in my interviews or my coverage of an event. And, you know, there's people been covering events since the beginning of time. So there's all kinds of, you know, ideas there. I won't try to suggest a bunch of them, but that has made it interesting for me. I mean, I'm pretty much in this for the while. I've been covering SHOT Show, at least, and everything around it since like 2004. I should say the gun community since 2004, 97 technically, but full time since 2004. The scope and the depth is something that you don't have to stay consistent on. And once you've delved into the stories behind, you just start to understand so much more, I guess, of what is possible. So it's frustrating sometimes to see so many people go in and grab that scoop right from the middle, because it's what they've seen everybody else do. And so much of the edges, so much of the outside, so much of the surrounding areas are always ignored, and we don't have to do that. And it's not that that's all necessary or it's all going to make you viral, but, you know, again, we're talking about capturing authentic stories and being real. At least that's how I think of this part. Going to the next one, navigating ethical challenges and maintaining integrity. Addressing ethical considerations in event coverage, such as objectivity, bias, and privacy. These are awesome pieces to keep in mind. So I know some people that probably do pretty good. Like, they probably are okay. I don't really pay attention to everybody's numbers or stats or whatever. But I assume that some people are doing pretty good based on the fact they're still doing it and they're still kicking. But they're assholes and they suck. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's... you can do stuff and probably be good at it, but doesn't mean you're good. Doesn't mean you're a good person. Like, there's some jerks out there. There's some people that'll stab you in the back. There's like just some just weird people out there kind of smashing around like elephants through everything. And, you know, again, you can do whatever you want. It's free country, but be aware of what you're doing. Objectivity. That's pretty easy to see through, I think. Unless people are not, you know, just superficially paying attention to what you're doing, they're going to know pretty quick when you've lost all objectivity. Or, I guess that's the way to say it. Bias, same thing. And the privacy thing, that's a frustrating one. With the way the internet is and the way things are changing, so many people feel comfortable doing stuff that it's assumed, I guess, that people don't care about privacy, which... you know, back in the day, the default was leave people alone, leave them be private until they say they're interested. But and I don't know how that much of an issue that is, but I guess it's also just something to think of, just because it doesn't come up very often. We're just throwing some stuff out here that's not often or not brought up in your typical superficial conversations about these topics. Then we got strategies for maintaining journalistic integrity while delivering compelling stories. And again, if your whole goal is to go somewhere and get paid, the thing is you got paid for, all right, but what are you adding to the mix? You're a commercial, right? If your goal is to go there and, you know, just say my rights and my property, all right, you know, you're allowed to, it's legal, but what are you really moving the ball forward? You're out there making a bunch of noise and yelling and screaming. You're part of the crowd. But does your stuff stand out? Does your stuff really move the ball? So I don't know if that's so much integrity, but maybe it is. Maybe it's in individual integrity. You know, do you have, I don't know what the root word of integrity is, but do you understand that your work has value, that your either creating part of the noise or you're creating a voice amongst the noise. And anytime you're putting into this, especially if you're looking for a result that's interesting, consider that, right? Don't take that for granted. All right, we'll keep moving. We got your post-event reflection and analysis, learning and growth. This part is crucial. We very rarely see any post-event reflection or analysis, and that sucks because it's, I think it leads to that culture of what's next, the culture of I don't remember what's next, and that leaves us susceptible to the cycles. So having a post-event something and then getting that into our culture allows us to appreciate and refine. It allows us to appreciate, understand, and develop, right? If we just do and move on, we aren't getting better. We're just in a rut. We're just doing. And the people that are feeding us or paying or, you know, getting paid by us doing it are just profiting. And there's really little incentive for anybody who's just getting paid to change that up, right? They don't want to screw it up. So I'm not saying anybody's did this to us. We're not the victims of anything here other than situations. But, you know, again, if we just do, forget next, we're not doing ourselves a favor. Gathering feedback, evaluating performance, and refining strategies for further coverage. Again, how awesome would it be to see an after action? You know who does after actions? Pilots. You know who does after actions? The tip of the spear operators. You know who does after actions? Doctors. You know who does after actions? People who don't fucking fail. Like the way you get to not fail isn't because you did some fancy magic. You just did the same shit as everybody else, but you don't fail at it. You just do the basics correctly. And the saying that amateurs practice until they can do it and professionals practice until they can't do it wrong, that's all it is. There's no magic. There's no fancy thing to do, right? It's just doing it and not breaking it, not ruining it. So this analysis, this feedback, it's super critical. Should it be done publicly? Man, I think that'd be the best future we got, is if people were all aware and part of this thing, giving feedback and looking forward to the feedback part of it. So I'll quit bitching. But that's, I think that one's a really good one. So since I got kind of in the flow there, I'm going to go back to the beginning ones and hit them more. So the understanding, the landscape, discussion of the current state of events and how they've evolved. Well, we got the NRA show. We got SHOT Show. Then we had, let's do the NRA show, but only CCW guns. Oh, let's do an industry event, but just for buyers. Okay, now let's do one, but it's going to be, you know, we've got the giant events that are trying to outdo themselves on repeating what they've already done. Then we've got your smaller events, your clash events. I'll just call them the clash events. There are different ones happening in different parts of the country. They're the only ones that have lasted. There's been the bullpup events. There's been some other events that are focused on, I'm going to call them areas of interest, you know, certain firearms or certain niches. And the clash ones have seemed to last because probably the Kalashnikov platform is superior and better and awesome. So it gets a lot of good, cool people around and they have fun. So they continue to show up. But you got things like the tactical games and you've got like cowboy action shooting and you've got like the steel challenge and things that are not top of the line, but are still out there. Anyhow, so you've got all these different events and you've got the big stuff and then you've got that medium stuff. And then I'm just going to drop down and say again, got gun shows. So all got gun shops. Those gun shops might have a sale. They may have some kind of industry day. They may have some kind of, we're bringing an expert in. Maybe they're doing some focus on something. How many big players are out there paying attention to gun shops? Well, none of them. How could they? They have to worry about giant picture stuff. So that's something that is often overlooked. And I believe one of the most critical things we've got is our gun shops and our gun shows. That's why I name half of our shit gun show and gun shop. is because those are super critical. Not only are they the most cool, but they give us variety and ability to try different things. When you've got like one or two major entities that supply pretty much everything and they just compete with prices, it's very difficult to get one of them to offer a whole new product line or to try something new. Every once in a while, one of them will do that, but you know, it's not your norm. But a gun shop can try something different. A gun shop can have a local flavor that works, and that can be shared. And that's the, you know, that gives us a lot of room to grow there. It also can reach a lot more people than giant organizations. So exploring the emerging trends and technologies shaping event coverage. I think I kind of covered this again, but the 360 stuff, you know, was one of those things. You had your augmented reality almost happen, but then kind of virtual reality or AI kind of took over from that whole virtual thing. The virtual stuff will be back for sure. We'll run out of real estate on planet Earth and we'll have to start buying virtual real estate. So that will happen. It's just a matter of when we get that back on the table. But again, being set up in virtual world ahead of everybody, you know, being an entity creating content in virtual world, you know, were you the first person on YouTube? I don't know. Probably not. Did it help you? No. First person on YouTube isn't the biggest person on YouTube. You know, being the first person on Rumble, I don't know. Being the first person on a different platform. Being a person on those other platforms, though, that should make you stronger. Hopefully it doesn't pull you in too many directions. But so exploration of emerging trends, again, right now, that probably means platforms. It probably means maybe type of coverage. You know, maybe you go into a show and you interview the manufacturers, the heads of the manufacturers, you know, like the people who develop the products. I guess that's two different things. You could go into a show and just talk to the company presidents or the founders of the different companies, but you could also go into a show and talk to their developers, their inventors. You could go into a show and talk to their marketing people, and you could go into a show and talk to their, I don't know, pick something else, factory person, salesman, shop person, whatever, like another gig at the company. And guess what? All of those conversations are going to be different. It's much different when I talk to the president of a company, listen to some of the interviews when we've talked to the heads and the presidents and the founders of a company versus when somebody talks to their marketing people. It's just a different conversation, right? So that's your understanding the landscape. Preparation, you know, hopefully I don't know if you're going to do this at the beginning of the year because that's when SHOT Show is, or you're going to do it, I don't know, on your birthday or something, or, you know, some other anniversary where you're going to pick to do your planning. Maybe you do your planning every quarter or quarterly or something. So you never plan too far out, but you know, you should be planning these big events out as far as possible. And I guess put a little bit of strategy into how many other people are going to this thing. We see a lot of people go into events and they're on their own. And then there's people at home being butthurt and sore because they couldn't afford or couldn't get time off or whatever, couldn't be at the event. Well, what about that collaboration and partnering up thing? You know, I've attempted to do this in the past, but because it hasn't caught on, it hasn't become a thing yet. It's super easy to not be an event and go live and then bring people in who are there. Like, guess what? We just did that at the Colorado rally earlier today. I'm here in Arizona, went live on my computer here in Arizona. Toby on his phone in Colorado and Denver joined the room, and we streamed the rally to the world via that back and forth, right? Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that at SHOT Show, at the NRA show, at fill in the blank show, or at the gun show. Like, how cool would it be to see somebody hosting a gun show Sunday show? And it's just people from different feeds at different gun shows showing us the shows and those promoters. Imagine, I don't know. There's a lot of potential there. What if it was rallies? What if it was awareness of infringements that are coming up? Again, understand. Well, I guess we're talking about events here, but you know, some of these events, these rallies, some of these events like awareness days are usually happen in silence, you know, happen in a void. As content creators, we decide that. Does something happen silently, or does something happen with much, what do they say? With much, I forget how they say that, but you know, with much accolade or whatever.
So strategic planning, I'd say, is hopefully you're not just sitting these things like the going to that gun show in San Diego. That was sort of last minute for me. I should have, if I would have planned that out, it would have been cheaper and it would have been less of a, well, it wasn't much of a burden, but we would have had a more effective trip because I would have been able, for example, to plan out some gun shops to visit. Or found out if there was another gun show. I could have come home on Sunday and went past another gun show in like Western Arizona or something. So, you know, planning the coverage, again, if you're planning on driving somewhere and if you're planning on going somewhere, some of that planning is, some of it is, you know, hey, you're going to be at that show. I'm going to be at that show. Let's meet up and have an interview, right? Like there's opportunities there. And then I think somewhere in here, I started to get more into them, but, strategies for financing travel expenses for event coverage. You know, we're capitalists and entrepreneurs. If you need help with this, certainly reach out, but there's, so many ways that, this kind of thing can be accomplished that, it's really just a matter of, putting some thought to it. So I guess that's it. It was kind of a sloppy one, but again, I don't script this. I do ask robots to write this for me, but then I go through and pick the pieces from what the robot said to include. And I thought this was a pretty good, pretty good spectrum, I guess, of it. So I could have easily missed something here. Let us know. If you're listening to this in the future, you're definitely welcome and encouraged to participate with comments. Yeah, they help the algorithm or whatever, but it's what we create content for. I'm not out here to lecture. If I had it all figured out, we wouldn't have all these bullshit gun laws. I'm trying to figure it out just like everybody. It's super frustrating, super complicated. Part of this is mapping it out. Part of this is understanding. Part of this is getting that information to the people who hate our rights and our property. They don't hate you. They hate your property because they've been told a bunch of dumb shit about it, right? They watch movies and think cars explode if you hit them in the back, right? They think you shoot a bullet at a car and it can explode. So they got no idea. And, you know, they don't hate you. They just hate the idea that you think that it's so cool to own a gun casually and they think it's such a big deal. Well, all we got to do is let that 80% of people understand again, like they used to, that it's not a big deal, that they also own very dangerous things and that the lack of concern isn't a lack of care about the consequences. In fact, we care as much about the consequences as anybody since we're constantly persecuted over them. In fact, but because most of the people that are actually at risk or the ones dying from firearms, which is how they have to word it now because they need to include suicides, they can't take violence. Violence is very little. They have to take the suicides. And those people who unfortunately are dealing with the suicide numbers are the veterans, the people who've, you know, decided to do something for the good of others. And then for whatever reason are now dealing with the stresses and the situations that give them into these situations. And instead of dealing with those root issues, instead of mitigating those concerns, they want to demonize the one item mainly because they're not really told the whole story. So really our goal isn't just to be upset. The goal isn't to just verbalize how upset we are. The goal is to end this. And that's through understanding of the situation and the people that we're dealing with. And these events allow us to do that. They allow us to show our part of it. They allow us to normalize guns, to explain how guns aren't what they think they are. And while they're not going to, you shouldn't expect that when you put content out there that antis are going to watch it and change their mind. What you're attempting to do is, you know, potentially that, but you're also hoping to, reach people on our side who may not understand the value that their intent has on what we're doing here, or their lack of intent, the consequences their lack of intent can result in. All right, well, that's the end of my lecture. Hopefully this was useful. I do appreciate the comments when they come in. Mr. Knives was out there. Foss was out there joining us. Welcome. Great Start Shooting School was in here today. Welcome.
And thank you for testimonials in Connecticut from the Suicide Awareness Day. Andrew is here. Welcome. I think he was the first one here. So that was everybody. If you were here and you didn't say nothing, there was dozens and dozens of people here today that didn't say nothing. It's your right, but you're welcome to say something next time. And if you're listening in the podcast, as always, thanks for watching and listening. Leave some feedback on those platforms, as we mentioned. That helps a lot. And if you'd like to become a Patreon, simple, just head over to Patreon/gunwebsites and subscribe to what we're doing over here. And we'll end it with that commercial that we started with from Foss. Awesome new commercial for the store. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And tomorrow we'll be doing the Instagram show. Today, I would normally link you over to Cape Gunworks, but I'm guessing that they're not going to have a show because Toby's at Colorado, but I don't want to assume, so we're going to go take a quick look. Didn't I say Gizzard? I thought I started with Gizzard. I don't see it listed, so let's assume that they're going to be, maybe he'll go live or something from Colorado, but at this point there's nothing listed. So we'll say, have a good night, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Instagrams show.
Sir, why are you in Barry's fishing net?
He ran right into it.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty apes!
First off, that is incredibly rude. You ran straight into Barry's fishing net.
It's ruined!
How is Barry gonna fish now?
I'm just trying to find some patches and some stickers.
Well, all you have to do is go to gearwebsites.com and you can find 2A-related stickers and patches. And even if you need web consulting, technology consulting, 3D printing, anything like that, gearwebsites.com. Now, please get out of the net.
I'm sorry.
Jerk.